Well, Father, I thank you for the 10 that are sitting here this morning. I thank you, Father God, that for whoever is watching. And I ask you to come down here this morning to just drop your glory on those who can't sit in the house of God and to do a great mighty works in each one of their lives. And I'm believing you heard that prayer and you're working on their behalf right now, Father. And I know, Father God, that you said that the pastors need encouraged right now. And so, Father God, these 10 agree with me that the pastors are being encouraged and uplifted right now, that fear has no hold upon them, and that they will go forth and do the great mighty works that you called them forth to do. And Father, we just thank you for being in our midst right here in this room. We thank you, Father God, that you are in total and complete control of everything that goes on here. And we thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit and your angelic host. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We can't forget from whence we came. We can't forget that we have a multitude with us, right? And I know every chair is filled with angels, so it's just not you 10. Now, I would like to have my spiritual eyes open to see the angels in those chairs, wouldn't you? You know, I'm really tired of people saying things and we don't see it. I really am. I think, and I really believe God wants to take us higher. And he wants us to see into the spirit realm. Instead of just saying things are there by faith, we say it by faith and we see it with our natural eyes. What do you think? Don't you think that? Yeah, I do too. I would just love to see all the different things that I know are there, but we just don't see them. This morning, we're going to talk about face the enemy from a position of knowing. And I want to encourage each one of you, please don't give in to this thing. This is the way life is going to be. It's not the way life was going to be. I know God said everything was going to be brand new. He did say that. The old was going to be passed away, which it has, and everything is brand new. But let's not be bound by this coronavirus. You know, this is not what God wants us to be. He wants us to be free, and he wants to do brand new things, but he doesn't want us to be bound up like some people are. All right, face the enemy from a position of knowing. See, well, you have to know that you know that you know that there's more to what God wants to do in this day and hour than 10 people sitting in a building. See, you have to know that. If you don't know that, then you're just going to let the world just go ahead and dictate to you everything that they can do, that you're going to do. Christopher Gore has been telling me for quite a few years now that they're trying to bring in socialism, which is next thing to communism, and we can see how they're trying to do that. And as I was walking through my study yesterday, God said they're doing the very same thing whenever prayer was taken out of school. They're just letting it happen. You know, this lady decided one day, well, I don't want prayer in school anymore, so she made a fuss and it took it out. And somebody just said, well, let's just produce a virus and let's just make the whole world stand still. And we'll dictate everything that they do. Do you understand that that's what's going on? We can't allow that. We have to, through prayer, break this down. And I'm hearing God say he needs a community of believers, true believers, that really believe that there's more to life than what we're living this morning. All right? See, and you have to believe that or you're just not going to go any further. Your destiny is going to be ended because you're allowing somebody else to dictate different things differently than what God's word said they should be. We know that God said that there's a lot of things going to be coming down the road that aren't going to be nice, and we know that the world's not going to look the same, but that doesn't mean we have to be prisoners. Right? All right, so John 13, verse 3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist, and then he went on to wash the disciples' feet. But this verse says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God. See, do you know, did you know that you know, that God has called you to do a special work for him? That if you know like Jesus did, then you're going to go forth and do the works that God has called you forth to do. Right now, I'm just hearing right now, there's a great hindrance in the spirit realm to keep you from going forth and doing the things that God would have you to do. You can't give into that hindrance. And it is a strong hindrance, too. It's just like you've hit a blank wall and you don't know how to push forward. But God is saying you can push that wall out of the way and you can go ahead and move forward if you know without a shadow of a doubt that God has called you to do a specific thing in your life. Now, one of the powerful strategies Jesus used to defeat Satan and live his life in 100% victory was he faced the enemy from a position of knowing. He faced the enemy from a position of knowing. Every time the enemy attacks any of us, he attacks me just like he does you. You have to face that enemy knowing that he is a liar. And he's trying to make you believe that he is not a liar. And he's trying to make you believe that you don't know what you're talking about or what God has called you for to do. You might say, well, God's called me to be a prophet. Then the enemy's going to come at you with everything he has to make you believe otherwise. Or he might say that, you know, he's called you forth to be a leader among leaders. Well, then the enemy's going to come back to make you believe that you aren't even a leader. So how can you lead anybody else? You see what I'm saying here? And you have to know that you know that you know that God is speaking to you. Now, how many of you right now, really, God isn't really speaking a whole bunch to you about different things? I'm used to every time I talk to God, he answers. And he isn't doing that the last 3 days. And I have a lot of questions before him. In fact, I called Christopher last night and I didn't realize he was really busy at midnight. I didn't realize it was midnight either. And I said, I just have to talk to you about something. So I talked to him about it, you know, and then I said, well, I guess I'll let you go because I thought God isn't talking to me. So I thought if I called you and talked about it, you know how God answers while you're talking. And I said, but he's not saying nothing. So I'm going to let you go. And I hung up just as dipped as it was for called. And I still didn't get an answer. So have you done that? You know, but I do know, you know, it wasn't anything about my calling. It's just about a different subject that's come up that I can't find the answer to. And I'm wanting God to give me the answer. And he hasn't done it. And I thought he would as I talked to Christopher. And Christopher's on the other end, real quiet. So, in other words, he wasn't talking to him either. So I guess God just mad at me or something. We don't get that attitude. Well, God, when you're ready to speak, you'll speak. Isn't that what he says? In his timing, he's going to reveal what I need to know. All right. Jesus faced the enemy knowing there was no possibility for defeat. Jesus faced the enemy knowing there was no possibility for defeat. The night before he was crucified, he knew that his hour had come. He knew the time appointed by God had come when he would leave the earth and return to his Father. See how he knew all this so he could do all things. Jesus knew that God was in control of his circumstances. This is where the body of Christ really fails. You do not know, that God is in control of your circumstances. Come on. See, if you knew that he was in control of your circumstances, you wouldn't be in the spot you're in today, wherever that spot is. All right? Jesus knew his life was not in the hands of the Jews or the Pharisees or Pilate, but in the hands of his Father, who had no evil thought toward him. Jesus knew his life was not in the hands of the Jews or Pharisees or Pilate, but in the hands of his Father, who had no evil thought toward him. So if you're dealing with people and they're being ridiculous. You need to always remember that you're in the Father's hands, and that devil and that other person that's fighting you cannot win the victory. All right? Now, with everything that's going on, do you not realize that you're going to be, you hit the devil head on more times than one? Because he is going to try to stop you more now than he ever has. And he's going to bring all of his evil devices up right up front, and he's going to use them trying to take you out. Jesus did not look forward to his death as a time of defeat, but as a time of great victory. People are on drugs, okay? And so they're trying to kill themselves, or they wouldn't be taking the drugs. And so when somebody sort of overdoses just about to death, they, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. Well, then why are you taking drugs? I don't want to be heavy. Then why are you still eating? You see what the point here is? We have the victory, but we are defeating ourselves by the way we think or the things that we do. Jesus did not look forward to his death as a time of defeat, but as a time of great victory. Now, so he didn't look forward to his death as a time of defeats, but as a time of great victory. So why can you not look forward to fighting the devil with great victory? It says, oh, here comes a he's going to defeat me. I'm going to give in again. That's a defeat attitude. You have to face the devil head on with total victory. And John 12:23 says, and Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Jesus, when he was going to the cross, he said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Then he goes on to say, now my soul is troubled, even though he knew that what was going to happen. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for the purpose I have come to this hour. So he knew that he had, this was what he had to do, but still in all, he just didn't really want to do it. How many of you know that the battle you're facing, you don't want to face, but God's told you the battle's coming, and you just have to be like Jesus and just go ahead and face it and get it over with. Right? In this verse, Jesus was referring to his death. He faced the pain and suffering on the cross, knowing that through his death, he would bring glory and honor to his Father. Do you understand that through every trial and tribulation you go through, as you go through it with the idea that you are victorious, you bring glory to God? But when you go through a trial and tribulation, you go through with the attitude of defeat, you give the devil the glory. All right, through his death he would bring glory and honor to his Father, that he would be glorified, exalted, and given a name above every name. Knowing this, Jesus never wavered, he never faltered, he never flinched, he never retreated. We really need to hear this teaching today. I needed to hear this today. Through it all, Jesus never wavered, he never faltered, he never flinched, he never retreated. God said, and Jesus knew he had already been given the victory. God told us that we aren't here to glorify ourselves. We're not here to live for ourselves or our wants or anything. We are here as servants of the Most High God to do a work for him. And if you're going to save souls, you're going to run into some rough people, and they're going to give you some hard times, and you can't falter, you can't flinch, you can't retreat and say, God, send this somebody else to them. You have to stand firm in what God's telling you to do, and you have to minister to that lost soul with the attitude that you're going to have the victory in the end. All right? Jesus did not go to Calvary worrying or wondering what was going to take place. The body of Christ does not meet that criteria. Jesus did not go to Calvary worrying or wondering what was going to take place. He was able to endure the stripes on his back and the pain on the cross because he knew God had given him all power and authority. No one could take his life from him. He could have called a host of angels down from heaven to deliver him. See, we don't go through our life thinking that way. God says you have the angels there to minister for you. Just call on them. But we don't do that. I can do all things, so I'm going to take this into my own hands, and I'm going to handle it. And there's your first bad move. You're already set up for defeat. You're hearing this. You guys, you really need to hear this today because you're going to find yourself remembering this message, and it's going to carry you through from defeat to victory. It really is. Jesus knew what he had to face and what the outcome would be. He knew he was eventually going back to his Father in victory. If God places a soul in front of you and he tells you to minister to them and that you're the one that's going to save that soul, well, then when you begin to minister to that soul, you go in there with victory because God's already told you that you're going to win that soul. And then from A to Z, you all surrender to all hell with that person, don't you? With your kids, everything else, don't you? I mean, God tell you they're going to serve me. They're going to be in the house of God praising me. But you know, from the time he told you that, the time it happens, you're going through drugs. You're going through, you know, abortions. You're going through all this junk. And when you're going from A to Z and you're going through all this junk, sometimes you falter. Sometimes you flinch. Sometimes you retreat. God, can't you send somebody else to minister to this person? See, we don't go in with the idea of victory. We go with the idea of defeat or retreating or whatever else. John 8:14 says, Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going." Now, where did you come from? You came from heavenly places, right? The word of God says he knew you before the foundations of the world. So that's where you came from. Now, for I knew where I came from and where I am going. But do you know where you're going? You see what I'm saying? Are you walking the path like Jesus walked in total victory, knowing that one day he was going to go back to heaven? So are we came down from heaven? Are we walking in such a victory that we know we're going to heaven? I know every day Isaiah says, are we going to go to heaven, Mom? I said, only if we walk out our walk with God. He said, well, I'm not going to worry about going to hell because I'm going to heaven, he said. So he's walking every day in total victory, his little six-year-old mind, right? And what does God say? Come to him as little children. We need to have that little child's mind. I'm just going to heaven, devil. I don't care what you do. He did say to me, he said, well, I don't care what you say. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. I'm just going to do what's right and go to heaven. He was doing something bad. And see, we need that attitude. Devil, I don't care what you see me doing right now. I'm going to repent and I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not going down into the throes of hell. So don't sit around here and wonder where you're going to end up at. Know where you're going to end up at and then work towards that goal. All right? All right, Jesus says, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. He's telling the people that. you don't even know me. You don't know where I came from. You're trying to figure out where I came from, and you sure don't know where I'm going. And some of you all sitting in here and listening, you don't know where you're going from. I mean, going to. You don't know where you came from. That hasn't settled in your spirit yet, and you don't know where you're going to. And that's why the enemy can come and defeat you at every turn. You just say, devil, I don't care what you have to say. I'm not listening to your junk. I know what my Father has sent me to do, and I'm going to accomplish it. And one day I'm going to sit in heavenly places. Period. And let him rant and rave and carry on like a fool. But you're not going to go where he's saying you're going to go. You're going to go where you say you're going to go. See, each one of us have to determine where we're going to go. And we do that, I'm hearing God say, we do that by our actions. All right, Jesus faced every trial, every temptation, every circumstance, knowing that when he spoke, whatever he said would come to pass. This is important now because we're getting ready to go into the great harvest. Jesus faced every trial, every temptation, every circumstance, knowing that when he spoke, whatever he said would come to pass. He did not wonder. He did not doubt. He knew. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew his calling. Jesus knew the will of God. Jesus knew where he was from. Jesus knew where he was headed. We have got to know the very same things. The biggest thing here that we need to know is that Jesus knew that when he spoke, whatever he said would come to pass. You have to have your mind set on Christ and know that God is speaking through you and it is going to come to pass. Are you listening here? I heard a few things some of you said in here this morning, and I was excited because you had a positive attitude about things. And if you keep that positive attitude, what you speak is going to come to pass. All right? Now, who are you? Think to yourself, who are you? I'm a child of God. Is God calling you for a purpose on this life? Of course, this earth, of course he is. Do you know the will of God for your life? See, that's where a lot of people fail too. They do not know the will of God for their life. Unless you're taught you need to know that, then you're gonna flounder all over the place. A lot of you in here know God's will, but you start doing it. Amen. I mean that's the truth. So I know you know where you're from because I've told you that many, many times. If you're letting the devil say that's not true, well, then that's your problem, not mine. All right. And I've told you where you're headed. If you don't repent, you're going to go to hell, is what I've told you. But if you live a holy life, you're going to go to heaven. So, you know, that's just simple, isn't it? Yeah, it is, Alan. It's very simple. God is in control of your life right now this morning, even as you sit in your chairs. He's in control of your life. You might be fighting him, but he's still in control. All right? God has planned for you to face your trials, temptations, and circumstances. God has planned for you to face your trials, temptations, and circumstances. Every attack of the enemy from the same powerful position of victory. So we're supposed to do the same thing that Jesus did. We're supposed to face every attack of the enemy from the same powerful position of victory, knowing who you are, knowing your calling, knowing the will of God. Do you not know that the enemy is going to fight you and tell you that you're to do something else other than what God has told you to do? He will come and argue with you. He will torment you. He'll tell you you're finished. He'll tell you you didn't hear God's voice. And he'll go on and on and on. But you have to be determined within your spirit man that you know what God has called you to do and you're heading in that direction. All right, you also have knowing you have been given all power and authority, and knowing you will return to the Father in great power and authority. God has given us all power and authority now. We need that power and authority to minister to the lost souls that are out there. You have to have power and authority in you so that when people are around you and they're not living right, they're uncomfortable. All right? Had somebody staying at my house for a couple of days helping around the house, and they said, I'm going to go back to my house. I need to get away from this anointing that they're afraid of, you know. But that's good. That's a good thing. And this is the way it should be with each and every one of you. The devil in a person should be feel very uncomfortable being around you, and they should want to get away from you. It's not you they're trying to get away from. It's the Spirit of God in you. So when people really don't want to be around you all the time, just stick the Holy Spirit on them even stronger so they'll get convicted and give their heart to God, and then they'll enjoy being around you. All right? I'm hearing God say there's many, many temptations coming down the road and coming your way. And what are you going to do with those temptations? Are you going to face them like my son did? Or are you going to give in to them? How many of you know you think, well, I can't be tempted any worse than I have been? Then here comes another temptation. Where did that thing come from? Isn't that right? You know, last night, little Isaiah, he loves ketchup sandwiches. You know, get a hamburger bun and put ketchup on it. He loves those things. And he wanted a bowl of cereal. First of all, he ate his supper, some chicken. And then he wanted a bowl of cereal, so I gave him a bowl of cereal. And then he wanted a ketchup sandwich. And then I was studying. He said, Mom, can I please have another ketchup sandwich? So I made him another ketchup sandwich. And about an hour later, he says, do you mind fixing me another ketchup sandwich? I said, Isaiah. It's like a spirit of gluttony was on him, you know. And I said, honey, you're already growing out of your clothes. And he said, but I'm still hungry. So he ate another ketchup sandwich at midnight, you know. And I'm thinking, see, and this is where the temptations come. And I said, well, do you think you really need that sandwich? I was trying to talk him out of it. No, I need that sandwich, he said. I could not talk him out of that thing. But see, he was just, that spirit in him was tempting him to keep eating. And, you know, he's got to watch. He can't, you know, he's too little to get overweight. But that's just how temptations come, little by little by little. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul's praying for the people in Colossians, and he said, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. That's how Paul prayed for that church. We should really pray this prayer over ourselves. If we would pray this prayer over ourselves, Colossians 1, 9 through 11, we would find ourselves growing stronger in the Lord. And we would find ourselves not being drawn into temptations all the time. And we would also find ourselves not getting all upset when things don't go our way. We would understand that we are working in God's timing and not our timing, and we have to wait on God's timing. But people on the earth today, I'm hearing God say, they get rambunctious and they want it now, and it's not God's timing, so they go out and do it themselves. Then they get all messed up and they come back and say, I knew God wasn't in this thing. See, we have to wait upon the Lord. We have to. I know that if I ask for a show of hands, there's not a one in this room that would not say there's things they're waiting for God to accomplish in their life. You know, either in their own lives or in their loved ones' lives, and you wish God would have done it last year. And it's still not accomplished, but God has told you what he's going to do. And so we just have to wait on his timing. Perfect. I'm hearing God say, SBS, perfect timing. All right. So please don't get discouraged if it isn't happening right now. It will happen if God has spoken it. The enemy's holding the answer at bay. You know, the enemy wants you to, he does that so he can get draw you into confusion. And I don't know about you, but I am really sick and tired of the mundane things that happen in the body of Christ. See, I've seen the supernatural, I've seen into the spirit realm, I've seen the enemy, and just walking this mundane Christian life is not pleasing to me. I'm excited and I want to see the supernatural once again. Amen. What's the sense of living if we don't see the supernatural? I mean, we're just like the world, and we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be peculiar, right? And so we should be the ones that say, no, I just saw, you know, and really seeing it, not just saying it. And we should be the ones where the enemy comes and talks to us, and he talks to us face to face and tells us what he's going to do. I say that because the enemy's done that to me in the past, you know. We're the ones that should be saying, well, the angels came and sat in my bedroom and gave me instruction. See, the world needs to see something different than what they have. And the church doesn't have that. The church is like the world. And guys, this is why God wants us to face everything we encounter, knowing that God is in control of all things. All right? Many Christians know the doctrines the Word teaches, but their knowledge of God's will is based only upon the power of their natural minds. See, this is when I was born again. I wanted to go away to college, and somebody's paying my way. God said, I don't want you to have man's doctrines. I want my Holy Spirit to teach you all things. And that was sort of hard because... You know, I was seeing things and doing things I didn't understand, and nobody around me understood it or thought. But I had to keep my mind constantly on Christ, listening for his voice so he'd explain to me what's happening in my life. And see, you know, I was more or less isolated. And but if God isolates you, you get all upset and you want to have fellowship. You don't want to be isolated. And I mean by that, I mean sitting in his presence, having him talk to you and tell you what he's doing with you, or even what he's doing with the world around about us. All right, many Christians know the doctrines the Word teaches, but their knowledge of God's will is based only upon the power of their natural minds. Number one, they know that it is God's will to heal their bodies. Number two, they know it is God's will to save their children. And number three, they know it is God's will to restore their marriage. And number four, they know it is God's will to supply their needs, but that knowledge hasn't penetrated their spiritual minds until they know that they know that they know. You know, if you have a sickness and God's told you you're healed, it doesn't matter what that sickness is showing you. You have to know that you know that you know that you're already healed. And you just have to stand in faith, waiting for the manifestation of that healing. All right? The natural mind cannot comprehend and discern God's will. It must be spiritually discerned. That's why God says, no more religion. Spirit is calling to spirit. The natural mind cannot comprehend and discern God's will. It must be spiritually discerned. The natural mind is opposed to the spirit. It is filled with self, worldly desires, ambitions, and man-made theologies. This is where some of our battles are coming from. because we're going at things with a natural mind and not walking in the spirit and allowing God to show us what's going on in the spirit realm. The Apostle Paul prayed that the Christians in the Colossian church would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. To be filled with the knowledge of God's will, our minds must be continually transformed, changed from their selfish carnal thoughts, and renewed by the word. Let's read that again, Brad. The Apostle Paul prayed that the Christians in the Colossian church would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. To be filled with the knowledge of God's will, our minds must be continually transformed, changed from their selfish carnal thoughts, and renewed by the word. As our minds are renewed, the Holy Spirit will be able to reveal and fill our minds with God's will. As our minds are renewed, the Holy Spirit will be able to reveal and fill our minds with God's will. Your mind's going to have to be renewed before the Holy Spirit can fill it with anything else. The Holy Spirit's not going to stick spiritual things in there with garbage. We have to let God renew our minds and get the. And some, all right, some of us have been walking with God for a long time, but we're in a dispensation of time where things have become a little bit difficult, and the enemy's working harder at trying to keep us at bay. And so we're trying to figure out what God is doing, you know, seeking God's face, what he's doing. And God isn't, sometimes God doesn't speak right away. And with me, he's not speaking right now. And so, you know, I really have to press into him and not entertain any thoughts the enemy brings to my mind, or look at the circumstances around about me with what the rest of the body of Christ is doing that's not right. I have to keep my eyes on God. If not, I'm going to miss God. You see that? You can't look at the rest of the body of Christ and keep your salvation. You have to keep your mind stayed upon Christ and allow him to show you what's truly going on. All right? As our minds are filled with the full knowledge of God's will, and it will become the controlling power of our lives. As our minds are filled with the full knowledge of God's will, it will become the controlling power of our lives. You just know that you know that you know what God has called you to do, and that no devil in hell is going to be able to take you out of that mindset, because you know. Some of you know that you've been delivered from self many times. And, you know, I was reading an article about Bob Larson, and he said that through the years, and, you know, when I first became born again, he was on the radio then. But through the years, you know, he's encountered a Jezebel spirit every now and then. He said, but now everybody he does deliverance on has a bunch of Jezebels in them. You just don't find one Jezebel anymore. Every grouping has a Jezebel. And he said he's never seen so many Jezebels in people during deliverance as what he's seeing today. And what did God tell me 2 years ago? Jezebel has now come on the scene once again, and she's going to wreak total havoc in the body of Christ. So if you, with the deliverance people, if you're encountering a lot of Jezebels, you know, if you say, well, I already got Jezebel out of there. Well, you didn't get the you got one. You didn't get the rest. You have to keep working till all the Jezebels are going. All right? And I really trust what Bob Larson says, because he's been in this a long time. And I also trust what God says. And God said Jezebel has come on the scene again. Jezebel comes from one purpose, and that's to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? So I said that as our minds are filled with the full knowledge of God's will, and it will become, that end shouldn't be there, it will become the controlling power of our lives. God's will then becomes the one driving force behind all our actions and motives. We too will be able to look up to the Father as Jesus did and say, we are not here to do our own wills. We are not here to fulfill our own personal desires. We are here to do your will. Come on. We are here to do your will. And, you know, years ago, God says that the people were building their own kingdoms. You know, they're building their own homes and their own business and everything, but they were not building the kingdom of God. And he was telling me at that point that I was supposed to start rebuilding the kingdom of God like they did in the Word. So what are you building? Are you building your own kingdom? Or are you building the kingdom of God? You have to ask yourself that. On the cross, Jesus said in John 19:30, "It is finished." Right then, God's will had been established. Everything God planned for man was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Be filled with the knowledge of God's will until it permeates your thoughts, your will, and your actions. Be filled with the knowledge of God's will until it permeates your thoughts, your will, your actions. You should be saying the very same thing to the devil when he comes to try to make you do something you know is not godly. Say, "It is finished. I don't go there anymore. It is finished." And believe it when you say it, because the devil knows whether you believe what you say or not. And I'm hearing God say, everything you say should be said with conviction. You know, the devil should understand that you're not playing around, that you mean what you say. All right, then, as an executor of God's will, begin to act according to that will, knowing it is the absolute authority, knowing what God has willed is forever settled and that it will come to pass. Don't go out to face Satan unprepared. Position yourself as Jesus did, knowing the will of the Father. And see, this is what I have before the Father. There's something that I want to do, but I have to know the truth of what's going on before I go out and face the enemy. I'm not going after and face the enemy until I really know if the thing is true or false. Do you understand this? And this is what I was trying to portray to Brother Christopher, but he kept saying this, that, and the other. I said, but I've got to know. I have to know for myself. What is the truth? You know, it's about God's word. I have to know what the truth is. And this is what each one of you should do. You have to know what the truth is of God's word before you go out there and start just saying stuff. All right? Regardless of where you are in your Christian experience, regardless of the circumstances you are facing right now, God has a plan of victory for you. As you receive a new revelation within your spirit of who you are and what your calling is. And when you have that, you're going to walk in 100% victory. I know who I am. I know what my calling is. There's other things that come up in the Word and working with people that I've got to know the absolute 100% truth before I pursue it. You know, you can't go out and pursue it with 99.9. You have to know 100% what you're doing, or you could destroy a soul. All right? Somebody said to me, well, you know, God said this person's going to do this, that, and the other. I said, but you know, I have found out that through prayer, you can change God's heart. You know, if you really, really, really get into with God and really talk to him, you can change God's heart. It's in the Word. Look at the king that was going to go. Who was that? Nebuchadnezzar? Hezekiah. Yeah, Hezekiah. He was going to die. God sent the prophet in to tell him he was going to die. But Hezekiah didn't want to die, and so he turned his face to the wall and cried out to God. And God gave him 15 more years to live, even though he sent a prophet to him to say, "You are going to die." And before the prophet could even get out into the courtroom, God said, go back and tell him I'm giving him 15 more years. So you can change God's heart. Now, he did it himself by crying out to God. But I have found out in my years with God that I can pray about something and I can, you know, God says it's a negative thing that's going to happen. But I found out I can pray and change God's heart. Are you listening here? We don't want negative things to happen to anybody. God's taken me to hell 3 times, and I don't want anybody to go to hell. It's a terrible place, and you don't want to go there. And God took me there because I didn't care if somebody died and went to hell or not. That was their prerogative, you know. And that was what I said about it. So God took me there, and he took me there 3 different times, and I don't want anybody to go there. And I have fought really super hard for people who have come against me, but I fought really super hard for God to change his heart and let them go to heaven. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for another soul, you know, that somebody that you don't like is going to be in heaven, because in heaven we love everybody, right? What matters is that you have the compassion of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ, and you love that person's soul so much that you'll keep praying for them, no matter what they're doing to you, until God takes them on home. Now, what about you? Where do you stand today? Do you know what God's called you to do? Are you fulfilling the calling on your life? In other words, are you being obedient to what God's called you to do? I know some of us have, you know, some of the body of Christ, even pondering and pondering and pondering and pondering, and God said, ponder not anymore. You have to know today, this is what God has called me to do, and I'm going to go and do that thing from a point of victory, knowing that this is what God's called me to do, and since he has called me to do it, he's going to be with me, he's going to equip me, he's going to speak through me, and everything's going to turn out just fine. Amen. Each one of you in here, you know, God sent you in here because God said, I'm going to send ministers into you, and you're going to teach them, and I'm going to send them out to minister. So each one of you are in here. You just aren't in here to fulfill a chair. Your life is not to fill that chair. Your life is to be taught and to be trained by the Holy Spirit and to go forth and to do a great and mighty works for the Father. Now see, if you don't know that, then you're never going to move out of your chair. I didn't say you had to leave the church. Many ministers go out there and they do whatever God's called them to do, but still go back to their home church. You know, but then you might, once God sends you out, I might never see you again. You know what I'm saying? But know that you know that you know what God is calling you forth to do, and then pursue that. And pursue it with the knowledge that God has called you to do it, and you're going to do it with victory. And quit allowing the enemy to keep causing you to doubt what God has called you forth to do. I've never doubted what God has called me forth to do. Never in my life have I done that. There's sometimes I've said, God, are you sure that you want me to minister to this person? You know, but the doubt what I am here for, I've never doubted that. And see, this is why I really, really try to drive that home to you. Because if you don't know what you're here for, the devil's going to ruin you. He is. The one time the devil talked to me for an hour, he said, I will find a way to destroy you. And what did that guy say, that John Ramirez, was it? The devil said to him, we haven't destroyed you yet. Remember that? That, you know, that was such a statement he made. It was a powerful, it's a good testimony statement. And if you know his story, I mean, the devil's constantly trying to kill him. But he can't, because John Ramirez knows who he is in Christ Jesus, and he knows what God has called him to do. And see, he has an up on us. He also knows what the devil does. You know? And he knows that the devil has no power and authority. If you read his word, the devil's put him through the ropes since he changed fathers, but he's not going back to that devil for nothing. Some of you in here, you want to keep going back. I'm talking about the body of Christ. You keep wanting to go back from whence you came. The devil torments you and you don't want to be tormented. You want to go back from whence you came. Why? Why? You didn't have anything back there, and there's sure nothing more. When you go back, you're going to be tormented worse than what you were when you had you the first time. That's what it says. You know, he's just not going to let you walk away. I mean, Brother Allen's starting to come out and share with the body of Christ what God has put. He's got a wellspring of information in there. Do you think the enemy's going to just say, oh, well, look, Alan's coming forth. We'll just bless him. The enemy's going to come after you. He's going to try to stop you now because now you stepped into his territory. And he doesn't like that. Are you really a warrior? I read an article where it says where pastors preach too long, so I'm trying to wind this down. But see, that's so important that you get this in your spirit, man, this morning. That you know who you are, you know what God has called you for to do, and you keep pursuing it. You're going to make mistakes along the way. I did. You're going to make mistakes along the way. But see, you have an advantage. I didn't have an advantage to have anybody teach me because everybody wanted me to sit down and shut up. But you have a body of believers around about you that's there rallying around you saying, come on, you can do this thing. You know? And we need that. God told me this morning, well, early, just about 12:30, he said, daughter, you've got to encourage the leaders, the preachers, he said, because they're getting discouraged right now. And this is why I'm encouraging each one of you, don't get discouraged right now. We might not like what's going on. Well, we don't like what's going on. But don't get discouraged about it. Just, you know, be encouraged in the Lord. Pray more harder. And then watch God bring to pass what he wants to bring to pass. All right? Father, there's somebody listening out there. And God would say unto you, my grace is so sufficient. My mercy goes from everlasting to everlasting. I am with you in these days of trials and temptations. I am delivering you from all evil. You have been crying out deep within your heart, God, I need deliverance. I need to be set free from this evil activity that I have placed myself into. And I say unto you, little one, I have heard your prayers. And I have sent the angelic host your way. And you will see yourself lift out of the miry clay. And you will see yourself seated in heavenly places with your Father. Hang on. Wrap your arms around about me. Help is already on the way. And you too shall preach my gospel to a lost and dying generation. Thank you, Father.